We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We respectfully acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be.
Just a quick test. 1, 2, 3. You say something?
1, 2, 3. Sorry, I'm just obsessed with it.
Hi, and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, by Master of Wine, Meg Brotman. Meg, what are we doing today?
Let's drag.
if anyone didn't hear that, like, light, Yoda talking.
Light strike.
Light
that was
strike.
Supposed to be my Darth Vader.
Jesus. In fairness, I was scared. So.
Yeah. Light strike.
Okay, so quickly explain light strike.
So light strike is when wine is affected by light. So basically light can cause chemical reactions to occur in wine, changing one flavour compound to another flavour compound, never positive, always a negative net effect, and results in sort of cabbagey, garlicky smells.
Excellent.
In wines, or vegetal herbal smells as well. So it's been known since the 70s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what we're talking about today.
So I feel like I have faith that none of our listeners are storing their wines next to a window, but did you see Meg's eyes? No, I think they wouldn't. I have real lot of trust in our listeners.
Okay. They may not be, but if they buy wine in a clear glass bottle, they're buying it from a supermarket or a store.
We have no control.
That has lights on often 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Or a restaurant, big windows, lovely atmosphere, shining in on your beautiful wine sitting on the bench, and the effects can start after 2 days of exposure.
Wow. Well,
so we've got lots of science today.
We have lots of science, and we're going to test it out, so that'll be really fun. But
an experiment.
First, that'll be really fun, drinking cabbage. What have you been drinking?
So I had a 2006 André Clouet The Dreams Champagne. So The Dreams is André Clouet is a producer in Champagne, and he has mainly Pinot Noir vineyards, in fact, only red vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
So his wines are very rich in style. You know, Clouet, they've got that hot cross bun character. But in every year he gets some Chardonnay grapes. We're not sure whether it's actually grapes or he buys the wine. But whatever, he calls it The Dream, and he releases a series of vintage wines. So on Good Friday, we had the Good Friday breakfast at Yarra Yering, which is an annual thing that was started by James Halliday in the 1990s.
Yep.
It's to have all the winemakers who usually were in vintage, but this year, because it was such a early and short year, they were all pretty much finished. They all turn up. Yarra Yering put on hot cross buns and croissants, and they make eggs with trout and yummy, yummy, yummy stuff, and everyone has to bring a bottle of champagne, pay $10, of which $5 goes towards the Good Friday appeal. So you get to taste a number of champagnes. I took the 2006 André Clouet, and I was very disappointed.
What?
So I was with Loic.
Oh, my God. I just put it in the show notes, like, everyone's going to want to taste this. No? Okay.
I was with Loic, who's the winemaker at Domaine Chandon.
Yeah.
And he's French, and he knows everything about champagne, obviously.
Yeah, he does.
And we were discussing it, and he just said, I think it's a bad cork. It was just, it wasn't corked. It was just a little bit oxidized. Because I said, I just don't really understand vintage champagne. I like my champagne fresh and lively and bubbly and Chardonnay driven usually. And this was much more complex thing. You know, it was, what's that, 2006, is that 15, 16, 7, God, almost 18 years old.
Yeah.
That's old.
That's really old.
It was, I should know it was 18 because my son was born in 2006, but I was getting their birth years confused. It was interesting.
Okay.
I'm glad I took it, and I'm glad that I had someone like Loic standing next to me when I was tasting it so that he could kind of walk me through it.
Yeah, so, except disappointing, especially if you paid a bit of money for it.
I think I got them for $95 each, which is really cheap in
a
deal. Like,
for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I think it was $350 for three or four of them.
Anyway,
it was
bummer.
It was interesting.
And do you have a fun fact?
I do. So I'm going to try and do fun facts because we've done misery and gloom.
Make it fun.
Yes. So every year in Norway, at the beginning of January, a large line of people with tents and sleeping bags forms outside the state-controlled wine shop. Because on the 1st of February, and this begins in the first week of January, Domaine Romani Conti is released for sale.
What?
People stay there for 3 to 4 weeks.
Where'd you say Norway?
This is in Norway. There is a ticketing system in place for it. So you basically only one person can buy one bottle and people queue up. So they're paying thousands of dollars for the bottle of wine. They're sleeping. And they interviewed one of the guys and he said, I just want to thank all the local cafes and everything around us because they let us use their toilets and gave us coffee and they sleep outside.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Do you know what is the funniest thing about this is that these people buying this wine, worth, what, thousands?
Thousands.
And they're sleeping outside and using cafe toilets and stuff.
That's interviewed these two young guys. They were 24 and they do it every year and they get a group of 10 people to go in to buy the wine because they can't afford
that's
it.
That's actually really cute. That's really sweet. We like that.
And then they rotate in turns who is sleeping in the tent. But they started the first week of January. They spent nearly a month in the cold in Norway, imagine, in January.
A month.
They mustn't have jobs.
That is a fantastic story. I like that, Meg.
So I meant to tell – I've had that one on the go since for a while.
Wow.
But then I keep forgetting about it. 31 slightly chilly days on the street, what you can't do – for some grape juice. Thanks for good company, all of the visitors, and not least the food gang. See you next year. And it costs £4,500. So 10 grand, say, for a bottle of the wine.
I wonder how they decide how it's distributed around the world. Like,
on allocation, obviously. Yeah, they.
I wonder how, many Australia gets compared to Norway and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, who gets the Romani Conti?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That's actually a good question. I wonder if it's population-based.
Yeah, whether they just, like, you know, they're French. That's probably just, like, we like those people better, I bet.
True. Well,
they have taste. They can have it.
They didn't like us for a while, but anyway. I'm just staring at the most beautiful face in the world at the moment.
Oh, thanks, Meg.
Little Billy. Hello, little cutie pie. On the radio.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to concentrate. Okay, I keep getting distracted by her.
I know, I shouldn't have got her out of her thing. You always get distracted by her.
Mel was talking to me before and I was just like staring at her, sucking her fingers. Like, oh, sorry. You've got to talk to
her, she said to me. Okay. We are getting into Lackstrat. Med, what is this experiment we're doing?
Okay, so basically I listened to a podcast called Wine Blast with Susie and Peter, the MW husband and wife team.
Yeah.
And
so they're way more like technical and stuff, right?
Yeah. And they've got access, they do a lot of interviews. They interviewed a guy who's been doing experiments, so I've got the results of that experiment. But interestingly, when I was in Dan Murphy's last night, I was talking to Dom, who's kind of, you know, my go-to fella there, and he had been listening to a German podcast on exactly the same topic.
Wow.
So clearly it's a little bit of a thing.
It's a thing.
So basically Lightstrike's been known about in Champagne originally since the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is the UVA, which is sunlight, and fluorescent light, so invisible light, can cause photochemical reactions. So photochemical just means it's driven by light.
Mm-hmm.
So photosynthesis is making glucose synthesis from light. So basically these chemicals change and that's the rose and the floral characters and the apple and everything, and they change. They're affected by the light and they change into these cabbage herbal characters. And it's only a problem in bottles that are clear glass. Now, they interviewed the guy, Professor Panagiotis from Italy.
Yeah.
And he said in his experience that 80% of wines were affected across all wine styles, bottled in clear glass. They spoke to Liz Gabay, who's an MW who specialises in rosé wine, and she said that 30% of all rosés that she tastes are affected by light strike.
And this is the thing that marketers and winemakers fight about this, because you can sell wine on the basis of its colour. Like, easy. People see a beautiful colour, they want to buy it. So marketers want it in clear glass, but winemakers are always like, no. Nah.
Well, Professor Panagiotis says, blame the marketers. It's the marketers' fault 100%. No winemaker would ever want their wine bottled in a clear bottle. But they made the comment, Susie and Peter made the comment on their podcast, why not have a display bottle and have the wine in carton? That's never going to happen.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. I was like, that's stupid. One in every store, every restaurant. Yeah.
So basically, Professor I've got all play this along science with that. That I want to read to you. It's so interesting. So it's daylight and fluorescent light are the most damaging. Mm-hmm. They took an experiment where they had Chardonnay and Pinot Gris of current vintage, and they measured the aroma profile. They then exposed it to UVA and fluorescent light, and after 2 months they seemed identical. They just experimented on them for 2 months. They initially seemed identical. Mm-hmm. You could see that one was Chardonnay and one was Pinot Gris, but after 2 months you could not identify which was Pinot Gris and which was Chardonnay based on scientific studies in the laboratory. You could not measure those chemicals.
Yeah.
It happens 2 days into light exposure.
Nothing. That is
scary. They measured it
scary.
At 2 days, 1 week, 3 weeks and 50 days, and the biggest changes are happening in the first 7 days, and it affects the fruity and floral aromas, and you can lose 70% of those flavours. So basically light strike is muting the wine. It's making it sort of unidentifiable. It's taking away its aromatic characteristics that identify it as a grape variety.
Is this why I hate rosé?
Well, yes. And also, it was interesting, you did the rosé rendezvous the other night, and they'd sent me the information and all the slides, so I sat down and looked at two of the wines, and one of them was quite savoury and vegetal and herbal, and I was thinking, delicious. And then when I was listening to this, I thought, oh, maybe it's... I still liked the wine, though.
Yeah.
That was the thing. So what I've done is I've taken exactly the same wine, a 2023 Rob Dolan True Colour Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
For 7 days since Good Friday last week.
Okay.
One bottle, it's been in a clear bottle. I transferred it into a clear bottle because it's not in a clear bottle, using Coravin.
Yep.
So
there
was no effect. There's no effect from oxygen.
Yep.
I then previously sparged the bottle with wine saver and then sparged it afterwards. So with argon in the bottle at the start and argon at the end. So there's no oxidative effect.
Yep.
So the wine's protected. One bottle sat in the full sunlight, beautiful weather on the weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Pete was going, oh, it might be heat. How can you do it without heat? And I'm going, oh, I can't control for the heat. Anyway, another one sat under a fluorescent light for 12 hours a day. For 7 days.
Oh, Meg, that's so cool.
In a clear bottle. And I had to leave a note for Bernadette, who cleans her house yesterday, and saying, please don't open the blinds in the spare bedroom or turn off the light. I'm doing an experiment. I did turn off the light at night because, A, my husband was whinging that he could see it coming out under the door when he was trying to sleep. But, B, in most stores,
they would turn off the light.
So that's fair. So I did turn it, but I left it on for 12 hours because I figured most booze shops are open for 9 to 9 sort of thing. And so you have in front of you three blind glasses, and I want you to taste all three and smell them.
Oh, so you haven't. Oh, so you're not going to tell me which is
which? I'm not going to tell you which is which. Now, it is Sauvignon Blanc, so it is a little bit vegetal to start with, but usually Sauvignon Blanc and this wine is much more pineapple and grapefruity than vegetal.
Yeah, it is. Now, I should have done the glasses different because we do have one glass that's Riedel and the other two are.
So this is the less exciting part. Have I got any more science to tell you?
I mean, so far I can tell you they're the first one. I don't know if it's just the glass, but it is definitely the most fruity. And, yeah, like that canned pineapple, it's got passion fruit, it's got grapefruit. That is standing out, whether or not it's the glass, as the most vibrant and fruity at this point.
Yep. So they start off looking savoury, vegetal, herbal with light strike, and then it becomes stronger to cabbage. And sparkling wine, while you're tasting, is most effective because yeast release riboflavin, which is vitamin B, and this increases the chances of sulfide being formed in the bottle because the precursors are increased. Riboflavin is basically a precursor for sulfide. So the photosensitive B vitamins in sparkling wine, traditional method, react with the sulfur-containing amino acids in the wine to cause dimethyl sulfide, so cabbage, garlic, onion aromas. Isn't that awesome? Listen to the podcast.
Isn't that awesome?
And it was really funny because we had a I was talking about the podcast yesterday at work and Rob Dolan walked in and goes, oh, yeah, light strike, it's been around for years. Can't tell those bloody marketers. And I'm like, yep.
100%.
So walk me through the wine smell. What are you seeing?
Okay. Yep, I stand by it. The first one is the most vibrant, most fruit retained. The second one, I'm getting heaps of vegetal, like it is like drinking asparagus.
Completely different wine.
Yeah. And the third one, everything is just muted. Like the flavours are just really muted. It tastes super neutral almost.
So what you've got is the wine straight out of bottle, so not any experiment. The second wine is under the the fluorescent light. And the third one is in the sunlight.
Wow.
So I'm just wondering, we had, so those of you who don't live in Melbourne, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday were full sunshine days, and this was sitting on a windowsill in what's effectively a glass room in my house. Then we had very overcast weather from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yesterday wasn't too bad. Foggy mornings. So it may not have been exposed for as much time, and it gets lighter later. And so, yeah, but there's a distinct difference. For me, I agree, the second one, which is the fluorescent light, excuse me, is the most muted but also has that asparagus, herbal, green.
But that's the one that's mimicking stores.
Well, that's the one.
How
that's
scary
mimicking
is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But becomes looks more like a New Zealand Sauvignon.
It does. It is seriously taking a fruity, juicy, yummy, vibrant Yara Sauvignon Blanc and making it taste like it's come from Marlborough.
And those thiols is part of New Zealand Sauvignon, Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc or New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, very aromatic, and it is definitely changing it high. from fresh pineapple and grapefruit into that much more herbal spectrum.
Yeah.
So pretty.
Hey, Tom, do you want to take a baby?
It's just woken up, not really. She's lost her sock.
She has lost her sock. Always gently, I can't reach it. Okay. Okay, so my question is, thiols have an, like if you put it under a microscope, they have their own like compound that you can see, right?
Yes.
So has that been created? Would you see that same compound in this one that, like has it literally changed?
It has changed the chemistry.
Wow.
Yeah, so it takes flavour compounds and esters, for example, are what we call flavonoids. So the science is it's moving. There's electrons that sort of float around. It's moving it so to another spot so that it tastes different. It's changing the chemistry. It's caused by photosynthesis, basically. It's like when you tan. So you no sun, you're white, then there's a chemical reaction in your skin that causes you to tan, and that's what's happening. Driven by light, there is a chemical reaction that changes the aromatic profile and the actual compound causing that aroma to a different compound, and it's irreversible, and it only gets worse.
So But the thing is, we're not going to change it. Like rosé, try sell rosé in a green bottle. So what's the answer?
Why can't you sell? Why do people have to see what the wine looks like?
Because you're not going to change consumers that much. Consumers 100% buy rosé, at least rosé with their eyes.
So 30% of the wines, based on Liz Gavay's studies, are faulty or not the way the winemaker made them.
Yeah, that's mental.
So if the consumer would like to continue to have rosé, 30% of the rosés that's not the way it was supposed to be, then yeah, that's fine. But that's one of the reasons I very rarely buy rosé.
Okay. This leads me to a new experiment that I think we should do.
Oh, God, here we go.
I think it should be, can you tell how a rosé is going to taste based on its colour? So maybe I should get a bunch of rosés, give them to you to taste, and try and tell me what you think the colour looks like based on the taste.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see if they actually correspond.
And it was interesting. I saw something on Instagram. I don't know who it was. So they were in France and they were drinking rosé and they were talking about how French rosé, we always think is that very light pink colour. In actual fact, it's what they call onion skin or pigeon's eye. So it's a little bit more of that orange tinge.
Yeah.
And Provençal rosé winemakers are actually chasing thiols.
Yeah.
So some of them are looking like a little bit like Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
Because they're chasing that. They're using enzymes in the production process to get more of that thiol in wine. But maybe what they're seeing is light strike after the wine's been bottled. I don't know.
And it
affects champagne. Don't buy champagne in a clear bottle.
Yeah, ew.
Do you make any at DC? No?
Well, no. And here's the thing. Garden Spritz is this beautiful orange colour and no one realises that it's going to come out orange. They think that it's like part of a mixer and you have to mix orange stuff into it, and it's a problem with, yeah, marketing, that people don't realise it's going to come out orange. But we can't change the bottle to show them that the liquid is orange because of this.
Can you say anything like this?
This is orange
tinged wine.
I mean, yeah, it says plenty on the label, but we know that people, like, they shop, they skim with their eyes in store.
I was actually at DC yesterday, and you've
got Domaine Chandon.
Domaine Chandon, yep. Sorry. I stand corrected.
And I just mean people don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's got this beautiful floral arrangement at the front door, yeah, cellar door that reflects obviously the garden spritz, but we digress.
We do digress. Okay, so that was interesting. Let's just talk about what are our options now if we want to keep drinking rosé as a consumer. I'd say one is buy direct from wineries because they're more likely to safeguard it.
And in the cases.
Yes. And yeah,
ask for bottles that don't take them off the shelf. Ask them to actually take it out of the case.
Will they think you're a knob?
Too bad. You're paying for it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's good.
I would
good.
Actually, in Rob Dolan Wines, we have our rosé in a clear bottle.
Yeah.
I would actually respect someone.
Turn your mic around.
You'd
respect someone for doing it. More. Yeah.
I'd respect someone. That's more.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd respect someone more if they asked for me to take it out of the case.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been exposed to light.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do is we do less rosés on display.
Yeah.
Because we have a rosé sparkling, a rosé cuvée rosé as well.
Yeah.
In a clear bottle.
Yeah.
You know, ticks all the boxes, but people love it.
Oh, look at, like,
will people know? No.
We are wine people who really care, and you have to meet the consumer halfway. You really do.
Yeah.
We are never going to educate every bloody rosé drinker about this.
No, so and at to some be point, fair, if yeah. you're drinking rosé, you're not.
Go on, Meg.
You just, it's a bevy. Yeah.
You're not thinking hard. You're by the pool.
No,
you
exactly.
are just having.
And
a
I would light argue one. Sauvignon Blanc at that sort of $25, yeah. $15 to $25 price point as well. But interestingly, not a lot of Mulra Sauvignon Blancs. They're usually into that sort of it's amber or, you know, falling leaf. We've got a number of names for the different colours of glass. But any colour works basically. It's yep. just the clear. We call them flint bottles.
Okay.
But most people know them as clear. I don't know why we call them flint, but clear yeah. clear bottles are the problem. But 2 to 7 days, that's when the most damage is done. So by the time it's been unstacked and yeah. you've bought it, like when I was at Dan's yesterday, wall of yeah. clear bottles of rosé,
yeah.
fluorescent lights. And I'm just wondering if – I don't know much about light science,
yeah.
I have to say, but LED lights, like are they different? Like I had to get a fluorescent light
yeah.
out to actually – do, which fortunately we had in Chile, you have these earthquake lights, which are fluorescent lights, and we still had it, so I use that.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Look crazy. At me going all thoncy.
Oh my God, you are.
Well, it was such good fun. I took it so seriously and made sure that the wine wasn't affected by heat.
Oh, you should have taken photos for our Instagram.
Oh, I should have. Well, they were in different bottles because obviously I had to decant them into different bottles.
I'll get you to go home and take photos of all your different setups.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, I've still got. Have I got the setup? No, I think not.
Oh, okay. Maybe not then. Sorry, guys. Missed out. All right. Well, that is it for this week. Next week, what have we got?
How to taste white wine.
Yeah. So this was actually a request that came in when we put out, like, what do you want us to talk about? And someone said that they wanted blind tasting tips. So wines that taste similar, how do you – what are the, like, the key things in each that you look for to tell them apart?
So I've got five whites, and then we'll do again another one on mm-hmm. reds later. I've actually bought the reds, so I'm all good to go, but I thought eight wines in one session was probably a bit too much.
Yeah. So it's just hit 10 a.m.
So. Yeah, exactly. We're doing this early. So I've got, yeah, a range of aromatic and non-aromatic wines.
Yeah.
Just so you can have a look at the differences between them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how to taste. Getting loose now.
All right. We forgot to do final drop, so we are back to do our final drop because Meg, you bought one and it looks yummy. And when you told me what it was, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. Let's go back and do our final drop.
Yeah. And you know, people have made the effort to send these through to us.
Yeah.
So if you, this is what we tend to use for our final drop is the one that people have sent to us.
Yeah.
We've got the Billy Button 2021 Alpine Valleys King Valley Rosso.
Now, maybe we should – I think that we should start putting a bit more context around some of the wineries because some are smaller wineries, female winemakers doing awesome stuff, experimenting. Like, let's make an effort to shout out the ones that are really good to support, and I think Billy Button is one of them.
Oh, it's one of your faves.
Yeah, I know. I will. I love it.
Because you love that part of the world.
I
sorry,
do.
I've turned my microphone around the wrong way. You love that part of the world, and yeah. I remember you went up there for a holiday or something, and you came back with, like, gazillion bottles of Billy Button.
Yeah.
And Joe Marsh is an amazing winemaker. I'm just actually Googling to see if I can find out what the blend is because it doesn't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
But so Alpine Valleys, King Valley, cool region of Victoria at mm-hmm. altitude, often known for more alternative, particularly Italian grape varietals because after the Snowy Mountains water scheme-y thing. I visited the tourist thing, but I can't remember what it was. Snowy Mountains, what was it? Hydroelectric scheme.
I don't know.
Anyway, a lot of the Italian immigrants that they brought out settled around the region. And so they've planted, there's a very big Italian influence, and they've planted great varieties that reflect their home. It was a big tobacco growing region, and wherever you can grow tobacco, you can grow grapes.
Didn't know that little tidbit.
So Billy Button says the 2021 Billy Button Rosso is a smashable, I really don't like that word, blend of
Barbera.
Yeah. Oh, did you smell that?
Yeah, that's the main thing I can taste okay. is Barbera.
Barbera, Tempranillo, Dolcetto, Refosco and Sangiovese.
Refosco.
I think I
bought a Refosco from them.
I don't know what Refosco is. But anyway, everything that Billy Button does is small, mm-hmm. you know, hands-on. And this is where I love to see Australian winemakers not naming Grape Fridays, just putting together a really delicious blend.
Yeah, I bet it doesn't sell, though, if it's not named.
Mm.
It's awesome. It's so yum. It's so yum.
Okay, I'm taking that home since you've got the Riesling and the Sauvignon.
That's fair.
That is so fresh and delicious and, I hate to say it, smashable.
Yeah, it is.
Even though I hate that term.
That's what I thought I had tasted it when you said smashable. So, it's fair in this case.
No, it is. It's so what these blends bring, particularly Barbera's got that always that black fruit but fresh, bright acidity.
Blackberry.
Tempranillo, I think, is bringing a bit of a duskiness on the palate. Everything else, maybe a bit of Sangiovese structure, because Barbera tends to me for me to be more of a short Lego block in structure rather than a long Lego block in Sangiovese.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling that length that Sangio tannins are probably bringing to it, but doesn't matter. It's just a really delicious, drinkable wine.
And it is. It's got this freshness. It doesn't weigh down on the palate. It's nice and light on the palate.
Could be chilled.
It could be chilled. It's still got a lot of flavour despite having this like lightness to the weight.
That is beautiful. I've got carne asada tonight.
This time of year, this autumn, this is what you want to drink in autumn.
Transitional wine.
Transitional wine.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a transitional wine from $25, mate.
Awesome. And that's from there. That is so good.
Buy it online. Again, don't dick around with retailers. Just go straight to the producer. You may have to pay for shipping, but we've reviewed quite a few of their wines. They're all pretty delicious.
They're all good. And buy stuff that you don't know. If you see a grape variety and you haven't heard of it before, that is a reason to buy it, not a reason not to buy it.
And in autumn in Victoria, perfect time to visit this region because trees
go to Bright.
Are awesome. Yes, Mel loves Bright.
Go to Bright.
Did I tell you we're planning a holiday to Griffith?
Oh, are you?
And Pete said to me, why? And I said, we're helping the people.
My mum heard the podcast and now she's planning a holiday.
So we were going to go to the Riverland, but that's 8 hours, so that's not kind of a long weekend, whereas Griffith is 5 hours.
Oh, my God, Griffith rocks.
But then we're going to do a week towards Mildura and into Berry and Rimano and stuff. Yeah, well, I mean, I've always been there for work. I've never been there for fun, so why not? Bit of a road trip.
Awesome.
So watch out, people, we're on our way.
All right, well, that was delightful. Go buy it online. We are back with you next week, and until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
And drink well, like I am now.